You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
The American League West and the National League West are shaping up to be very interesting. In the AL West, you have the Seattle Mariners at the top of the division. And in the NL West, it's really anybody's guess who's going to pull away from this. I am Allison Footer from MLB.com, and we caught up with the reporters who cover all of these teams, so let's hear what they have to say.
Sean Manaea, so this was just kind of made, sort of headlines when he was going to be making his season debut against the Astros. And then he had, a really nice outing. So what did you notice from him?
Yeah, I mean, right away with him, you just kind of noticed, I mean, he has such a big presence. But he's also it's also a very calming presence, too. I mean, it's a big 6'4", lefty out there, and big hair on top of it. But when he's out there, I mean, there was no sense of, him being anxious, nervous. And I know after the game, Stephen Vogt was saying, he noticed kind of a cool moment. He looked out right when Manaea happened to be getting to the mound, and he kind of just stopped, looked around at the crowd, took a deep breath, and went from there. And Steven thought that was just kind of cool to notice that moment. Obviously you only get one of those moments for the first time in your career. And I think Sean handled himself really well out there, just, maybe taking off some of the pressure that might accompany such a big prospect like that. And I think it'll be the same way tomorrow. It's a pretty intriguing matchup with him going against Felix.
Oh my goodness. Yes, that will be, you always like to see them get tested early, because why not? And against the Astros, I mean, he had a really good outing. He had to feel good about how everything went. And how important is that to have that debut go really well in the short term, I guess?
Yeah, he did. I mean, he was overall, I think he was very happy with his stuff. You look at his final line, and I don't think it's very indicative of how he pitched. I think there were 4 earned runs, but only 2 came with him on the mound. Sean Doolittle gave up a pair of his inherited runners. So you look at the final line, and it's not, doesn't really leave you in awe, but if you watch the way he pitched, I know that everyone was impressed. He was very happy with it, satisfied with it, and I think we're only going to see him get better.
Yeah, and when that trade was made, I mean, give us some insight as to, so he came over in the from the Royals in the Ben Zobrist trade, and he was the key to that. Was there a lot of excitement? Did people feel like the people that, follow this stuff and really keep track of minor league prospects? I mean, was it touted as this is a really good deal for the A's kind of thing?
Definitely, just because it was, hey, we got Sean Manaea for a couple months of Ben Zobrist. Obviously, Zobrist is a very good player, but he was only going to be in Oakland, no matter what, until the end of last year. And they saw an opportunity to take advantage of a highly valued player, use him as trade bait, and reel in someone like Manaea. And I think it wasn't just Manaea during that span. The A's reeled in a few exciting guys. And I think they just, saw this rare chance to, I know fans see it as, oh, well, throwing in the white flag, giving up. But, there are so few of those opportunities that come along. And the A's definitely saw it with Manaea. And now, you're looking back at it like, oh, well, we only had to give up a few months of Zobrist on a team that wasn't contending anyway to get, a very solid rotation piece who could be an ace in the making.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the way those trades are supposed to work out. So that was good to see that happen. Let's talk about Jesse Hahn. So he made his first A start since last July, and it was a really good one. So that had to have been, I guess, a relief and also a good sign for things to come.
Yeah, I've always been a big Jesse Hahn fan. I mean, I think he proved himself last year when he came over to the A's. It was unfortunate that he had that, the forearm strain, missed the second half of the season. And then, had such a rough spring, but you looked around the Cactus League and everyone was having a rough spring. So it was kind of confusing to see the A's, send them down when they did. send him to AAA just because here was this guy that was supposed to be such a big part of their team, a big part of their rotation, and not even be in the season with them. And I think he was a little confused, but he didn't let that affect him at all, which was great to see. I mean, he went to AAA, got right to work, had very good outings in AAA. And I think for him, all he needed was just kind of a change of scenery. I know, especially in Arizona this year, I mean, he's a sinker ball guy, and the sinker wasn't sinking. And we saw it in very good shape in his start on Saturday. Had his signature curveball working really well. I mean, he's also throwing harder than he was last year, just a tick up. I mean, he's consistently throwing 94, 95, sometimes 96. Hit 97 on Saturday. So just all around, I mean, his stuff was better. Several people said it was better than, you know, they've ever seen from him. So a really good sign, especially at a time when they're kind of waiting to see if Chris Bassett's going to need Tommy John surgery. That's a huge loss for them. Either way, it sounds like he'll be out for a while. So for Jesse to come in and pitch the way he did, and I think everyone knows that, you know, this wasn't just a fluke. I mean, this is the type of pitcher he is. So for them to have him here, you know, I think he's here for good.
Richard, you should know everything going on with this team. And the first thing I want to talk about is Derek Holland. I talk about Derek Holland with T.R. Sullivan all the time. I see him as like the sort of X factor. Like if he has a good year, I think the Rangers are going to have a good year. But if he struggles, I think it's going to be difficult for them. Do you agree with that? I mean, he had a very good outing in his last one versus the Angels, so that's a pretty good sign.
I do agree with that. And as we're recording this, the Rangers are tied with the White Sox for the best rotation in the American League. And who would have thought that? So you look at it. I mean, I think you could say Derek Holland was the key to the whole season. If he was healthy, we knew he'd be productive. So you insert him in there with Darvish, who will be back, who's supposed to make his next rehab start this week and has looked great, and Cole Hamels, who's pretty much a proven commodity. Colby Lewis and Martin Perez have been more impressive than they thought. The Rangers are third in the American League in runs. Their bullpen's been bad. They've been careless on the bases. But if you told them on opening day, look, boys, at the end of a month, you're going to be tied for the best ERA among starting pitching in baseball, you'll take that because you can figure out they have a deep farm system. If they have to go get relievers the way they did last year, they can go do that. And I think we all feel like they're going to score runs.
Yeah, I mean, when I look at you, Darvish, and he's coming back soon, and this is like the Rangers being able to make a midseason acquisition for a Cy Young caliber pitcher without having to give up anything to get him. Like that can't be anything but good for this team.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly the way they looked at it. You know, it's funny the way John Daniels has such a vision. It's not funny. It's admirable the way he has such a vision for his rotation. When he made the trade for Hamels, he also got Diekman. But when he made the trade for Hamels, he knew he had control of them for a couple of years. And so he could fit in there. He envisioned on the moment he made that trade, he said, look, we could be good enough to win a World Series in 2015. But next year in September, if we look up and Holland and Darvish and Hamels are rolling out quality starts, we're going to be pretty tough to beat in October.
So now that you've said this wonderful things about this rotation being like the best along with the White Sox, now I'm looking at the 15-13 record and I'm like, oh my God, why aren't they better? So we know why. Okay, so you just tweeted out a very interesting statistic. The Astros have made 9 outs on the bases. The MLB average is 10. And the Rangers are number one with 17. So you said they've been careless on the base paths. That's really careless. That has to be a little bit of a concern. Are these guys, their heads not in the game?
I think sometimes Elvis Andrus has made 4 of them, and I think he's an aggressive guy who sometimes lets his judgment and his ambition to get to the next base get screwed up. We've seen it here in Houston with Carlos Gomez and Jose Altuve getting thrown out 3 times. You know, at the end of the day, I don't worry about that stuff. I think when you have a club, you have Beltre, you have Chu, and you have a couple of kids in there, Mazara and Odor, I think the kids are going to make mistakes, but I think at the end of the day, the veterans. Look, Adrian Beltre might be the most respected baseball player in the major leagues, And I think they're going to take care of that. It always comes back to, is Yu Darvish going to be okay? Is Derek Holland going to be okay? And are we not going to be decimated by injuries because we know we're going to score enough runs? Nothing is guaranteed. Seattle is a good club, and Oakland has pitching. And I think we all think the Astros have too much talent not to make a run. So you can still make a case for other teams. But as we're sitting here today, there's nobody that's feeling more optimism than the Texas Rangers, because they're going into the season, their only concern was the starting rotation. Is Holland going to be able to take the mound? Is Darvish going to actually come back and pitch in the second half of the season? If the answers to both those questions were yes, they're thinking, okay, we're going to be playing some October ball. And if they're not, they're thinking, whoa, it's not going to, it has a chance to get ugly.
Greg, welcome.
Hey, good to be here.
So let's talk about what's been going well for the Mariners. We talked a lot at spring training, just what things kind of looked good, and a lot of that is kind of coming to fruition, especially the pitching.
Pitching has been outstanding, Allison. The bullpen, a real breakthrough, and that was kind of the big question mark, is what they'd get out of that bullpen. All new mix, and despite a lot of injuries in the bullpen, so one area that's been hit pretty hard, that group has held up, and about a 1.5 ERA through the first month, and that's about as much as you can expect. Steve Cishek has been outstanding as the closer, 8-for-8, I think, in saves so far. And a couple guys have stepped up. Nick Vincent, a guy they picked up right before the start of the season, has filled a big role, and they've needed that because Joaquin Benoit out with a sore shoulder, and now Tony Zick down, going to be gone for more than a month now, it looks like, with the shoulder. And so they're starting to take some hits there, but they've held up so far, so that'll be a key for them going forward. But, that group, their rotation was solid coming in, and they've certainly held up. Taiwan Walker's been outstanding. And Wade Miley's come on here. The last couple starts have been very good. Nathan Carr's been good. Iwakuma finally got his first win the other day. And Felix is Felix here, So rotation pretty good. And you get that bullpen behind him. That's a good combination.
Yeah, so when it comes to obviously being a contending team, Felix was not going to be able to carry this whole thing. And you really need, like, two studs at the top and then, your third guy to be someone who could probably be a one or two for, like, a bad team, like a non-contending team. That's, like, always, like, my barometer for if a rotation is really good.
Sure.
And so the Mariners, I mean, when we talked about this a little last week, just when you compare the Mariners' rotation to the rest of the rotations just in the division, I mean, you have Rangers are good. They're very, very solid, but I don't see why the Mariners wouldn't be, like, a formidable competitor there.
Well, I mean, they've won six straight series, and that's, I mean, you talk to any manager, he's got to win series, and they've come out here in six in a row. They haven't done that since 2001 when they won 114 games. Amazing season. They won 14 series in a row, and that's a mark that will stand for a while.
Season.
116 wins is as good as you can get, but this group here, six series in a row, that's you couldn't ask for anything more. You're doing that, you're playing good baseball.
Okay, so there's a couple of guys offensively who are doing well. So the shortstop, Marte, let's talk a little bit about what his contribution is.
Ketel Marte has been great, not only offensively, but really defensively. It was a huge series in Oakland. He just came out of, really took a step forward. You know, they knew he was a solid shortstop. There were some questions. You know, a 22-year-old kid, and then they didn't need to see it for a full season. He's come out and really taken some big steps. And really saved a couple games for him in Oakland with his glove, and he's hitting pretty well now. He started off kind of slow, but he's a guy that switch hitter that can spray the ball around, and last 10 days or so, been hitting about 350 and starting to get that average up. Guy with some speed, and really a kind of a spark plug for that offense. So been good to see him step up. And you get Cano in the middle of that lineup doing what Cano does, and Nelson Cruz hit a ball yesterday about as far as I've ever seen a baseball hit, up into the upper deck and center field at Oakland, up into where the fans sit up there.
Wow.
You just don't see balls go up there, and Nelly put one up there yesterday, so we know what Cruz can do, and starting to get some of those other pieces together. So, yeah, it's not all there yet, but you can see why they're winning games.
And how is their depth? I mean, it just comes to, obviously they've already had a couple of injuries, but so much of it is just like having the depth to be able to replenish and not miss a step. And they seem to have some good reinforcements.
Well, they've got some interesting things going on. Dejo Lee, that we haven't mentioned, interesting character, 33-year-old guy from Korea, big slugger. Rookie, he's never played in the major leagues, and just kind of spotting with Adam Lind at first base in a platoon situation, and the guy goes up yesterday and hits two home runs. They're down 8-4. He gets a home run to get him back in it, and then puts a two-run shot to put him in the lead to win a game 9-8. And about as good as you can get for a guy that hasn't seen major league pitching much. And he's 32 at-bats. He's got four homers already. He's just a big guy that can hit the ball a long way. So, you know, that's a weapon they haven't had before, a right-hander off the bench with some pop. And, you know, really the depth I think that you got to look at now is in the bullpen. They're really going to have to kind of shore things up there with Zick and Benoit out, and that'll probably be a real test for them going forward.
Okay, so tell me about, like, let's talk about a typical travel day in the life of a reporter. Yeah. So we're standing here, and we're going to get you some coffee right after this is over. What, last night you were covering a game and then you flew today?
Yeah,
and
I mean,
here you are.
Nobody's going to buy the sob stories of a baseball beat writer.
It's just I think it's interesting for fans.
Well, you know, I mean, it's really just travel. It's just, you know, they played yesterday, you know, we got done, and I had some time last night a little bit, but a 6 a.m. flight out of Oakland, and so I was up about 3 o'clock to make the drive over to get to San Francisco Airport in time to get out of there, and luckily I had a direct flight, got into Houston about 12:45, and of course they didn't have a room ready for me, so
of course not.
So a couple hours in the lobby, and finally got in, took a quick shower, and headed over to the park, and here I am, you know, on about an hour and a half, 2 hours of sleep.
And you're ready to write about 2,500 words before tonight is over.
But you know what? You certainly can't complain. You know, it's watching baseball and writing for a living, and it's good stuff.
And it's better that your team is not like on some 12-game losing streak.
It helps. This winning series certainly makes storylines more interesting, and the guys are a little more happy to talk. It's fun to cover a team that's doing well.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Greg.
You got it, Allison.
Thank you.
Alden, you had a nice little rundown of some guys that we don't talk about as much, but who certainly have been holding up their end of the bargain lately. What have you noticed from some other players in the lineup?
Well, they have been getting some contributions outside those big two guys, and it's still a really small sample size, but it's encouraging for an offense that obviously is going to need production up and down the lineup. You know, you start with a guy like Yunel Escobar, who's been, you know, hitting the ball well really since the start of spring training. He's actually – it's not a spot that he's ever hit in, but he's looked like a pretty good fit at that leadoff spot. Cole Calhoun has been solid. He had a really good game against the Rangers when he went back to the number two spot on Sunday. And I think another guy that is very key for this offense is C.J. Crone. He struggled mightily at the start of the year. It looks like now he's really starting to get it together a little bit. He put together two or three really good games towards the end of last week. The problem with C.J. Crone, though, is that he's probably not going to play while the team is in Milwaukee. Obviously, they don't have the luxury designated hitter out here, and it looks like Albert Pujols is going to try to play first base as often as possible. I wouldn't put it past Albert if he played all three games, but he'll at least play two of them. So you wonder if maybe being out of action a little bit will hurt C.J. Crone, because he does look like he's starting to find it again. The power hasn't really showed up yet, but he's starting to drive the ball again. He's starting to go the other way. And one more guy who's been solid offensively, too, is Rafael Ortega, their left fielder. He's a left-handed hitting left fielder. He was just recently with the Cardinals. He used to be, at one point, he was one of the Rockies' top prospects. He's filling in for Daniel Nava, and he's kind of making a case to stay with the team, even when Daniel Nava returns off the disabled list.
Yeah, and, I mean, it can't be stated enough that really – in order for your big guys to produce, they have to have a support system around them. You can't really hit in a vacuum. Like, if you're the only one in the lineup who's doing anything, like, why would anybody ever pitch to you? So that's what makes a cohesive unit, is you can be a great hitter, but you're really only going to be as good as the guys around you are going to allow you to be, if that makes sense. Do you agree with that?
Well, of course. And I think the Angels are a living, breathing testament of it. For the last four full seasons, they have employed the game's best all-around player. It's gotten them zero playoff wins. Some other guys are going to have to step up. That's the only way it's going to be able to happen for this team.
Okay, so the bullpen has been performing pretty well. In the last 10 games, they have the second-best ERA in the majors. Another key piece, of course, having a contending team. So is that surprising to you, or were you kind of expecting this kind of performance?
You know, Allison, if you looked at one area on their team when they came into the season, perhaps the one area that maybe you weren't worried about or that didn't have as many questions was that Angels bullpen. You know, you look at guys like Houston Street, obviously, he's on the DL now with an oblique strain. but they shouldn't keep him out too long. They had Houston Street and Joe Smith in the back end. And they had a collection of middle relievers that had some pretty good track records. Some of them had some pretty good upside. I think the most interesting thing about this bullpen, though, Allison, is they're doing it without strikeout component. I think last I looked, and I'm sure it's still the case now, they were by far worse than the majors in strikeout percentage from relievers. And normally that's kind of a troubling stat because you feel like, you know, over time everybody just kind of regresses to the mean. And if you're giving up a lot of contact, eventually you're going to give up a lot of hits. But this is an Angels bullpen that isn't really built for the strikeout. They have a lot of guys in there that actually do a really good job of generating soft contact. It starts with Joe Smith and Houston Street, but it filters all the way down to Mike Marin and Jose Alvarez and Greg Molly. And these guys aren't strikeout first guys, which is kind of different for relievers. Relievers usually come in, they throw mid to high 90s, and they get their punch outs. This is not a bullpen that does it that way. They rely on the defense. And, you know, I think one area of the Angels that is improved from last season is the defensive component, especially with Andrelton Simmons. So, and you're kind of starting to see it show up. I think, you know, the only guy that they have in their bullpen that is really a punch-out guy is Cam Bedrosian, who they just called up recently when they sent Matt Shoemaker down to AAA. He came into the game on Monday, an eventual loss. He faced six batters, and he struck out five of them. So it's nice to at least have one guy in there that can get the strikeout, but this is not a bullpen that does it that way.
No, and I want to talk a little bit about Matt Shoemaker. Sent to the minors, he's had a terrible go of things. Recently allowed seven runs in 2.5 innings to the Rangers. It was the third time in 5 starts. He couldn't get out of the fourth inning, couldn't even record it out. What is happening to him? Is this just a matter of, like, they needed to get him just out of the spotlight and get things right? Do you think there's an injury involved? Like, what's happening with him?
I don't think it's an injury. I just think he has to get right. And I think the fact that, you know, their off days allowed them to go until May 14th without a fifth starter. So they do have some time. They do have a 4-man rotation right now. But the problem with Matt Shoemaker is that he's just let innings snowball on him the entire year. He's had 2 good starts and 3 really bad ones. And, you know, he's in those 3 starts, he has failed to record an out in the fourth inning, each of those 3 starts. I mean, that just can't happen. He's a guy who relies really heavily on that split finger fastball, and he is very, very sensitive towards locating down in the zone. He has to consistently locate down in the zone. That's the only way he's going to be good. When he does that, he looks really good. When he doesn't do that, he looks really, really bad, like he did in Arlington over the weekend. He needs to go down and figure it out. And Allison, I can't say this enough because we talked about it so often over the offseason. You know, that Angels starting pitching depth that was once 8 men strong is down to 4. And, you know, they're keeping tabs on somebody like Tim Lincecum, who's going to throw in front of scouts on Friday. I expect them to attend that showcase. I don't know how aggressive they're going to be after Tim Lincecum, largely because nobody really knows where Tim Lincecum is at. His entire offseason workout routine has been so secretive that they have no idea what to expect on Friday. But the Angels are among the teams that are kind of looking at him, and it's obvious to see why. It's remarkable that they're at this point that where they just have nowhere to turn for starting pitching right now.
Yeah, I mean, it would seem a stretch to think that Lincecum is going to be a starter. I don't know. I just picture him like maybe being able to resurrect himself as a bullpen guy, but a starter, that just, can any team really legitimately feel like he could fill that role for them?
I mean, you know, you're grasping at straws, but you never know. He came off hip surgery. That's huge. You know, that's a long recovery process. You know, some people have reported that he's throwing in the 90s and he wants to be a starting pitcher again. We'll see about that. I mean, he wasn't terrible, I guess, in a 15-start stretch last year, but it's hard to see him being better. It's likely that he's going to be worse than that if he's a little bit older and if he's coming off of surgery like that. But, you know, it doesn't cost much to just go see him. So they're just gonna check it out because at this point in the year, you can't really trade for it, you know. So you just got to hope that you catch lightning in a bottle for a little while.
Yeah, totally. No, yeah, I think that I can't think of a team that would not – I mean, you have to go see him, right? It doesn't hurt anything. But, I mean, I can't see – like, why would – of the 30 teams, like, why would somebody not go see him?
Right. Yeah, exactly. And you know, the Angels, if they do eventually become interested and try to sign him, they really only need somebody, one or two guys, to kind of hold it down while some of their injured guys start coming back. I mean, you look at C.J. Wilson. He's not off a mound yet, but he could be off a mound within a week. Andrew Heaney had a PRP shot that is probably going to keep him away from throwing until, like, at least the middle of June. And Tyler Skaggs, he's got biceps tendonitis now. He had an MRI in L.A. on Monday. He's going to be shut down from throwing for at least another week. So these guys, I mean, I would presume that all three of them will be out until at least the All-Star game. And then after that, we'll see.
After what could not have been a worse start, they do seem to have gotten things together. They had a huge offensive blowout against the Twins, and so that was a good thing to see, right, Tex?
Yeah, it's kind of the game we were all waiting for. I mean, I think of the fans, players, A.J. Hinch scoring 16 runs and getting 13 hits and just making it look easy. You know, they came into that game with four or five players in long slumps, 0 for 10, 0 for 11, 0 for 17 in one case. And everyone got involved. It started with Altuve, led off the game with a home run like he's done five times this year, but then it didn't stop. Everyone else got in the act. And it was kind of good to see. It's, you know, it's a shame for the Astros. It took so long for them to have a game like this. And they're not going to score 16 runs every night. But when everyone's clicking or most are clicking, they're a very quick strike offense that can score a lot of runs like we saw on Wednesday.
and Jason Castro, it was good to see him break out. He has had a terribly slow start to the season, and he really burst out of it. And they're going to need a little bit more from behind the plate.
Yeah, he's got a six-game hitting streak now where he's, I think he's 8-for-18. More importantly, he's walked, I think, in nine games in a row. Or so he's drawn a lot of walks and getting on base. Just looks a lot more comfortable because he did not look good early on. And he sort of had a black hole at catcher because Kratz is here basically to catch every fifth day and not really be an offensive force. So, you know, Castro with the home run for the second game in a row was a good sign. You know, can he keep it up? We'll see. But he really swung the bat a lot better in the spring. And then when the season started, you're wondering, boy, where did that go? And, you know, it took him a while, but here he is swinging the bat well. And if he can keep it up, you know, having him at the bottom of that lineup hitting in front of Altuve, it just gives Altuve another RBI chance.
So when this homestand was starting, before it started, my opinion was that this was kind of a key telling indicator of what kind of team the Astros have. So they have the Twins coming in, now they have the Mariners, and then they'll have the Indians. And really, they have to put together a winning homestand. I mean, I don't want to say, like, anything is do or die in May, but to go into, like, the second half of May with, like, a 10-25 record is going to be really hard to overcome because the starting staff is just not that strong. So they have to make a historic comeback with, you know, kind of a pedestrian starting staff. Do you see that kind of, do you agree with that this is like a key homestand for them?
Oh, yeah. I thought coming in they would have to go at least 7-3. They're off to 2-1 start, and 7-3 would put them at 15-20, which, you know, you can kind of catch your breath a little bit and say, okay, you know, we can get to 500 here in the next couple of weeks. But, yeah, if they would have had a 3-7 homestand, I think they would have been in big trouble. And then they have a road trip 4 to Boston, 3 to the White Sox, who are playing very well. So they have a tough road trip coming up, haven't played well on the road. So they really need to feast at home like they did last year. They haven't done that yet. But, yeah, you know, we know they got off to that bad start. Of course, famously in 2005, they went 15-30, but they had Oswalt, Clemens, and Pettit, three of the best pitchers in the game at that time, and they rode them all the way to the playoffs. They don't have that this year, so they're going to have to get it turned around at home, and it starts now.
So we have Jake Marisnyk is back with the team, and A.J. Hinch made it very clear that they wanted him to only be down there for 10 days because he shouldn't have gone down anyway. It was just a matter of needs, like what was needed at that particular time when he was sent down. So that'll be a boost for them, I mean, defensively, and he can do a lot of different things. Michael Feliz was sent down, correct? Okay, so what did A.J. just say about the two of them?
Well, Jake's going to come up, and I think we'll see him play more than he did the first 10. I mean, he was up for the first 10, 11 games and didn't get in there too much. Rasmus was so hot, even though Gomez was struggling, they wanted to let him work it out, and then Springer was off to a good start. But I think we'll see Marisnyk play a little more, especially against left-handers. They didn't face a left-hander until, like, the third week of the season either, so that played into him not playing. But what makes him so valuable, not only his defense, is just you can bring him in as a pinch runner, and he can really have an impact on a game late in the game. Of course, you can use him as a defensive replacement. So, you know, that's why they like him. Feliz has pitched pretty well up here. The numbers aren't great. You know, he's still got stuff to work on, but A.J. just said he's going to be one of those guys that's back and forth between AAA and the majors when they need that extra extra long guy. That's a tough role to play, especially for a younger kid. But if he keeps working on his pitches, we know he's got the fastball to succeed. So he's still got work to do, but I think we'll see him back up here soon.
Okay, so what do we make of the starting pitching staff? Dallas Keuchel is obviously not having a great start. He didn't have any hiccups. One bad start the entire year last year. He lost at home for the first time in 2 years. So just looking at everybody, what do you think? What's going to happen with these guys?
Well, number one, they need to pitch deeper into games. We saw that a couple of times. The last turn through in Oakland, Fires and Pfister, I think went 6-7 innings. But here at home so far, it's been fifth inning, 90, 95 pitches, just struggling to get through. Fires had all that run support on Wednesday, and he still couldn't get that last out in the fifth to get the win. So they just got to be more efficient, I think. And I think with Keuchel's case, and I think a lot of them, they just need to attack a little bit more, attack the zone. They're giving up too many walks, still too many home runs. Pitched a little bit better, but there's still improvement. I think if they're going to turn around, we know it's going to be pitching, and it's going to start with the starter. So they're going to have to get a little more aggressive, trust the defense a little bit more, and if they can score more runs like they did on Wednesday, then that could give them the means to just throw the ball over the strike zone a little more.